enjoyed your service so far today.
Amen.
Now blessings to come. Now I'm preaching on the Word of God. So
right.
At this time, we'll introduce Mr. Dennis Sampson, and open your hearts and minds, people.
Amen.
No relation to Billy Sampson.
Funny story about that. I introduced myself to Tom Lester one time, and Leonard Sampson, Billy's dad, was sitting there, and I introduced myself. I'm Dennis Sampson. No relation to Billy, and every time Leonard hears that, he wipes his brow. Leonard, who, bless his heart, wasn't paying a lick of attention, just reached up and wiped his brow, looked at me, and said, "What?" Thanks, Leonard. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, I trust you do.
Amen.
Because I am not a palm reader. Please turn with us over to the book of Exodus, chapter number 4. And once you have found Exodus chapter number 4, if you're able to, if you'd please stand in the honor of reading Father's holy word. Begin reading in Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 17. And the Lord said, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You notice in verse number 17 it says, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand." And again in verse number 20 it closes out by saying, "And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." Lord, being our helper this morning, we like to bring our sermon on this thought: have rod, will travel. Have rod, will travel. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, once again for all you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people. I do pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, please, to follow after your holy will, to say exactly as you'd have me to say, to present this sermon the way that you'd have me to, Lord. We certainly don't want it to be about me. We want it to be about you and what all that you've done for us and what you can do through us. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school that we had this morning. Certainly enjoyed that. And as I said to Brother Ben there earlier, didn't need to say too much here for the sermon because he pretty much covered it all, but I'm so glad that you said in your word that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it shall be established. And Father, we're looking forward to that. We thank you, God, once again for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I have to admit, I do like to watch occasionally some old westerns. And you might be familiar with one, I believe it was Richard Boone who starred in it, called Have Gun, Will Travel.
Amen.
And Brother Burt, he was a hired gun. And what he'd do is he was very proficient with his gun. And if you would pay him, he would come and he would take care of the business for you. Well, church, may I say that in a manner of speaking, we are all hired guns. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've already been paid. You are no longer bound for hell. Your sin debt has been paid in full there on the cross of Calvary. You owe him your life, your service. And now he has given you the authority to go in his name. He has given you the authority, the power, the unction to go out there and tell a lost and dying world the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has given you the authority to follow his commandments. Everything that is there in his holy word, he's given you that authority to do it, and he expects it to be done.
Right.
And as he told Moses here to take the rod in his hand and go with it, we have been told to take the rod in our hand and to go with it as well.
Right.
Now this word rod, as it appears here in Exodus chapter number 4, it means literally a branch or a piece of wood. Figuratively, it means a tribe, ruling, a rod for chastening, for throwing, or walking. I believe that Moses understood that all five of those areas, where it talks figuratively, he was to carry his rod. And so long as we are carrying our rod, we can travel for God. We can go for God. We can do as God would have us to do. The first area I'd like to look at here this morning is the dynasty. This is talking about the tribes, the area where he was supposed to have the authority, where he was supposed to be ruling. Now the word dynasty, it means a series of members of a family who were distinguished for their success, for their wealth, etc. Now in Moses' particular case, he was being sent back down to Egypt. He was sent, Brother Ben, right back down there where he had failed 40 years earlier. He had gone earlier there and posed, according to the book of Acts, according to Brother Stephen as he preached his first and only sermon, that his brethren would understand that God was going to use him to deliver. But as you see something, he's missing something here. He does not have the power and the authority from God at that particular time. But now 40 years later, he has spent these 40 years on the backside of the desert, learning what it is that God has for him to do, how he's supposed to lead, and he has, without realizing it, picked up this rod of God into his hand. And God is now telling him, yeah, I know 40 years have passed, but now's the time. Now you've got the authority. Now you can go and lead my people out of there. Take the rod. Don't go down there without that rod. And as it says there in verse number 20, after he got his wife and children ready to go, he grabbed that rod and says, all right, now I'm ready. He's going to go out there and he's going to get the job done. I'm reminded about how this man, he went down there in Egypt. He went down there and he rescued these people from slavery for 40 years down there, additional into slavery there. 400 plus years. And now here he's going to have to lead them for 40 years through the wilderness. A bunch of griping, moaning, groaning people. Must have been a bunch of Baptists. And Lord Almighty, they were always hungry too. They definitely were Baptists. But he was going to have to lead them. This was the man that God was going to have write down the law. To write down the rules for the priesthood. He was the man who was going to have to train up another man by the name of Joshua. And Moses was going to have to deal with two generations of people. The generation that he brought out and the generation preparing him to go in to the land of Canaan.
Amen.
He had a tribe that he was supposed to rule over. Or should I say rule for? Let me put it that way. Church, I want to ask you something. How are you carrying your rod? Are you carrying your rod for the next generation? Can the next generation look at you and have a good, positive, powerful example of a godly man, of a godly woman? Or do they see someone who's laid it down? Someone who's just sitting here playing church. Someone who's just sitting here going through the motions. You've got a group you're bringing up. Maybe it's not your children. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Maybe it's your great-grandchildren. Maybe it's your nieces, your nephews. Maybe it's just the neighbor over there. You're leading them. Are you leading them to God? Or are you leading them away from God? You know, we've got those cute little sayings. And you see them a lot there on Facebook. I admit I'm on Facebook. So if you want to stone me, please do it afterward outside the parking lot. Easier to clean up. But we've got these things there on Facebook. This when you carry your Bible, it gives the devil a headache. When you open your Bible, it makes him sick. When you do this with your Bible, it makes him do that. And when you do this with your Bible, it makes him do that. Sentimental hogwash. The Bible tells us over in James chapter number 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. They know the Bible a whole lot better than most of us do. He's not bothered one bit about us playing church. What bothers him is when we pick up the rod and we go for God. When we pick up the rod and we're teaching these little ones back about how they need a Savior, how they need to be saved. When we go out to a lost and dying world and we start telling them about
Jesus Christ, and that he paid the sin debt for him, and all they've got to do is accept it, and he will save their soul. That's what he gets afraid of. That's what makes him mad. That's what causes him to mess with us. But if you're not doing it, and the rod's sitting down, you're riding the bench, and it don't bother him one bit. I'm reminded over there in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse 2. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "In the things thou hast seen, thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also."
Amen.
That's four generations listed there, church. That's Paul writing, Timothy receiving. He's commit to faithful men who can teach others also. Four generations. That's the way the church, Brother Bert, is supposed to be. Four generations being brought up.
Right.
Would to God that we had more Pauls and more Timothys.
Amen.
But Brother Jordan, unfortunately, we've lost some of the faithful men. We've run into faithful men who've taken the knowledge and they've hoarded it for themselves. Sad thought, but it's true. They're not passing it down to the next group of preachers, to the next group of deacons, to the next group of Sunday school teachers, to the next person who walks through that door. They're not giving it out. They're holding it for themselves. We've run into a bunch of faithful men who are no longer faithful. They've gotten lazy on God. And they said, "I've done enough in my life. I can just kick back and let the next generation take over." Why should the next generation take over if they haven't been taught?
Right.
We've run into a lot of faithful men. I'm sorry to say, but they stumbled and they stayed down. They haven't gotten back up. I got a preacher on my mind, been on my mind for a few years now. Praying for him to get back. I'll tell you his name's Brandon. Powerful man of God, Brother Burton. But he laid his rod down. And it's cost him dearly. It's cost him his family. It's cost him his ministry. Cost him friends. Cost him greatly. And he's just laying there. And he's quit. But you can always pick the rod back up, church. Don't forget that. You can always pick the rod back up. As long as that person's breathing, pray for him. Pray for him. Because they need us to have the rod on their behalf. May I say there's also the district where we need to take that rod. Moses was told that he was going to lead these people out. He was going to have to take care of them for the next 40 years. And I'm reminded over there in the book of Exodus chapter 17 about how Amalek came. They'd just gotten out of Egypt. They ain't got nothing to fight with, Brother Ben. But Amalek came and says, "I'm going to whoop you." Moses told Joshua, "Go pick us out a bunch of people. And me, Aaron, and her, we're going to go up the mountain with the rod of God." Yeah. And up there on that mountain, there's Moses. And every time he's got that rod high overhead, that's symbolic of him praying for the nation of Israel. That's symbolic of him saying, "This is my district, and I'm going to do what I can do for them." And every time his hands came down because they were heavy, and that rod got heavy, and Israel started to lose. And finally, Aaron took one side, and Hur took the other side, and they raised him up there, and he said, "We will stand in the gap."
Amen.
Church, are we standing in the gap wherever it is that we are at? Or are we saying someone else can take care of it? Pastor Ray contacted me a couple weeks ago, asked if I can fill in today. I said, "Yes, sir, I'm at your disposal." He says, "I'm going to be over at Brother James Jacobson's church. Pastor, I will be praying for you." He says, "Dennis, I'll be praying for you." He's over there, I'm here. But guess what? We're both holding the rod up for each other. Why? Because that's the ground we are occupying. We are supposed to be praying for one another. We're supposed to be praying for the congregation. We're supposed to be praying for our lost loved ones. We're supposed to be praying because this is our district. This is where we are at. And where we can't reach, that's why we've got missionaries on that board back there. So they can go to a different district and reach the gospel out there to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
Are we doing our part, though?
have rod, we'll travel. But we're not using the rod to beat people down with, though. No. Not here to beat the sheep. It may seem like I'm getting a little hard on this, but you know what? Sometimes we need a little kick in our pants, too. Okay? You know why that is? Because occasionally we need some discipline brought into our lives. This is a rod for chastening, after all. I'll read you these verses here real quick. Because you know, one of the favorite scriptures that the world likes to spout, we'll put it that way, is spare the rod and spoil the child. Anyone find that in their Bible? Because if you do, please let me know. Because I'll tell you what I found. I found Proverbs 13:24 that saith, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." In other words, when it's necessary, child gets a whooping. Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child." Why? Because they don't know no better. "But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Rest assured, that little demon child of mine back there, she gets some whooping too. She may look cute and innocent to y'all, but she's got your fool. She gets punished. No, I don't want to sit there and leave welts on her. I don't want to leave her bloody. But I want her to know that the Board of Education, that the Board of Correction will meet the seat of education. Why? Because I know my father will take me out to his woodshed and he'll whoop me too. Why? Because I don't want the prison system to get a hold of her and have to do my job. Church, are we doing our job with the rod? When a brother falls and he decides he wants to stay in that sin, are we letting him know you're not supposed to stay in that sin? Are we going to him and witnessing to him when they fall and they don't know what to do? Are we going and trying to help them up? Or are we sitting there saying, not my job? So, preacher, you're messing. Yeah, I know I'm messing. We need to be messed with.
Amen.
We need to help others. Didn't I believe it's Jude talks about if a brother err, that we're to go and correct him? That we're supposed to restore such a one? Or maybe it was James. My mind just blanked. I apologize. But church, it is up to us. It is up to us to come and to help one another, to lift one another up, to help get each other out of the mud, out of the muck, out of the mire, to show them their need for, to get a little spiritual soap into their lives there so they can get cleaned up, to show them that, hey, God still loves you no matter how far it is that you've fallen out, but we can't do it without our own rod.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Brother Bert, reach over and grab my hand. Stay seated. Just reach over. Can't do it. I've run as far as I can because I'm limited by this bench. You hear me knocking against. Now I got a little something to lean on. And I can help them up. See? Because I've got something to lean on, church. We've got the authority of God's holy word. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. But without Christ, we're not going to get nothing done. We also have to have a little bit of self-discipline. A little bit in ourselves where we are watching to make sure that, oh, wait a minute, that's sin. And yeah, while I might sit there and say I am strong enough to not fall into it, the self-discipline, Brother Jordan, to understand, I'll still fall into it. That I still need to avoid that temptation. That I need to follow God. That I cannot stand here and stand on my own. That I need Him and I need His help. You remember a couple of months ago I was up here preaching. I had the crutches there. I had a cane here. At one point I was using a knee scooter to get around. I had to have support. And if I decided to go off and do it on my own, I would get hurt more. As a matter of fact, the first time I took that knee scooter outside to try to get used to using the thing. I hit a little bitty twig with the back tire. It flipped me over. And twice I stepped on this right foot. And I pushed one of the wires all the way through the bottom of my foot. Guess what? I couldn't do it on my own. I had to have help. We'll bring a little discipline into our lives. We're bringing in some help for ourselves. Mm. That discipline is Jesus. Yeah. Did he not say in Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? Church, that's part of defense. Remember we said one of the definitions of that word rod is for throwing. A good defense. Years ago I read a book by a man named Philip Keller. The book is titled A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you ever get the opportunity to pick up that book, do it. Excellent book. He literally breaks the 23rd Psalm down by how a shepherd wrote it. And he talks about that part there where thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. And when he first got started in the sheep herding business, he was out with a shepherd there. And there was this great big rock in the way, and they wanted to move it out of the way. So he squats down with both hands, and he begins to pick up the rock, and the shepherd's next to him, and he begins to pick up the rock. And all of a sudden, Brother Ben, a poisonous snake appeared. And he said that as quickly as he could recognize that it was a poisonous snake, Brother Josh, that snake was dead. And the reason was because the shepherd only used one arm. The other arm, he still had his rod in his hand. He still had his defense ready to go. He was ready for the fight. We read over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, about the whole armor of God. And every item listed there is defensive in nature, including the sword, because that sword will protect you. You are not trying to protect the sword. The sword is protecting you. And it is to go out there and also be offensive, to go out there and witness to a lost and dying world there. But if you don't have your rod, you've got nothing in your hand to be defended with. You've got nothing in your hand to go out there and save a soul from dying and going to hell. And that's part of the defense that you need to be operating under. And just like I've got to be careful how I line these things up, so as that I do not end up cutting myself, we need to have the discipline to have a proper defense. We need to be able to go out there and help people. I think of Moses and when he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. There were 21 national sins that occurred from the time they left Egypt till the time that Moses exited the scene. 21. And 21 is a spiritual number for sin. But each time, there's Moses standing in the gap with his rod on their behalf. Each time they needed prayers brought up on their behalf, there's Moses. Whether it's in the battlefield or it's there in the plains where the sin is at, there's Moses with his rod on their behalf standing in defense for them. Church, are we standing in defense for one another there? Are we praying for one another for their protection? How about Miss Rita there and her family in this time that they're going through? Are you praying for it? Because it's going to get hard. It's going to get harder tomorrow. It's going to get harder the day after and the day after and the day after. They need prayers brought into their lives. Church, you've got the chance to stand in the gap there for them. Yes, sir. Or you can kick back and let pastor do it because he's the pastor and that's what we pay him for. And if that's what you think you're paying for, the altars are always open.
Amen.
Right. Because you don't pay him enough for that. $1 billion a year wouldn't cover his cost for that. Church, each one of us can hold the rod.
Yes, amen.
Or we can lay it down. Lastly, not only is there the defense, I like this. There's the destination. That last figurative definition for the rod is for walking. As you go along, You're walking somewhere. Notice the word somewhere. You got a destination in mind. A place you've already predetermined? A place you don't know that much about? A place you need to go to? A place that you want to go to? A place that your spouse is dragging you to? A place the kids are dragging you to? Whatever the place is. But it's a place. It's a destination. God has given each of us a destination that we're going to.
That's right.
City not made with hands. Street of gold so pure, it's like clear glass. But you know what? There's a different destination, though, that we don't tend to think about. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Destination simply of knowing Him better. That's that verse is not just for the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the preacher, the deacon. It's to all of us.
Right.
We are all to know Him better. I'll share this with you real quickly. A few years back, Colleen had this secret sister there at Sunrise, and the secret sister had this idea that, you know, since we need a handicap ramp for Gracie, that she would put it all together there, make all the arrangements, and get us a ramp. And a week or so before the big Sunday reveal for it, she had to get in contact with me and let me in on it. Brother Ben, the only reason why is because she needed someone in our household to go get the building permit. So I had to go to Hammond City Hall to get a building permit. I didn't know I had my rod with me, though, Brother Bert. I got there, and the lady said, "You just missed him. His lunch is about an hour, but he usually takes a little longer, so figure about an hour and a half. We'll give you a call, though, when he shows up." I'm like, man, I don't want to go home, because if I go home, Miss Karen, my wife's home, and she will wonder why I'm suddenly having to leave. So I got to spend time. Well, it's lunchtime. I'm hungry, too. I go over to House of Pizza there on the boulevard. Thank God for pizza. And as I'm going over there, I was like, I got to say an hour to an hour and a half. I got to entertain myself. I get bored real easy. I could just bring in my phone and play on my phone. I ain't got that good of a charge, and they need to call me. Not a good idea. And then the thought just came to my mind. Your Bible's in the back seat. Bring it in.
Amen.
That's right. That does sound like a pretty good idea, Lord. I like that. So I brought in my Bible to House of Pizza. And I sit down and I open up. I'm starting to read while I'm waiting on the waitress to come. Waitress comes, takes my order. Leaves, comes back, brings me my soda. Leaves, comes back. And she's got like three or four other tables going. And she stops and says, "Are you reading the Bible?" "Yes, ma'am, I am." "Have you ever read through it all the way?" "I guess I have, five or six times, actually." And she says, "Why? Why would you read through it so many times? Wouldn't once be good enough?"
No.
And I admit, I didn't want to step on any toes. I recognized instantly that I had a chance to witness to someone. So I was ambiguous as possible with my statement. But I says, "Let me ask you this. Do you have a significant other in your life?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you satisfied with just knowing that person's name?" "No." I said, "Do you like the idea of knowing what they like to eat and where they like to go and you know, what they like to do in their free time?" She said, "Yeah." "But don't you want to know more about them? You know, at the very least, see if you're a good match?" She says, "Yeah, I would." It's the same way here. He adopted me into His family. He saved my soul from eternity and hell. I want to know more about
Him.
Amen.
I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about God the Father. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit, who's the indwelling seal of my salvation.
Right.
And I got to talk to her about being saved. And she had other tables, and I asked her, would you like to ask Jesus to save now? She said, I sure would. I said, you want to do it right now? She said, I can't. I've got other tables, and they're already backed up waiting on. But I'll do it when I get home. I said, all right, I'm going to pray for you. I had to leave it at that. I mean, she's a server. You know, you don't want to push them because, you know, they're in the service business. And, well, I'll say whatever you want to give me a bigger tip. Well, Sunday came. We had the big reveal and decided to go over to House of Pizza. I told Helene all about what had happened that particular day. And we get there, and guess who our waitress is? And she comes by and says, Helene, this is Stephanie. This was my waitress the other day. Tell me something. Did you do what you said? She says, I sure did. Jesus saved me. Because I was carrying my rod, church. Because I was there ready with a destination for me and one for her as well. It's the exact same one. But if I did not have my rod ready to go, her destination would be different.
That's right.
Who knows what could have happened to her? Church, are we carrying our rod? If we're going to travel for God down life's highway, carry the rod. I have just two questions and a statement for you this morning in closing. Number one, is your rod dusty from lack of use? Some good furniture polish up here at the altar. You can come and get your rod cleaned up. Number two, have you lost your rod? Have you laid it down? Again, here at the altar is a good place to find it again. And my statement for you is this. God has given each of us a measure of power to wield for Him. But it's up to us to use it effectively. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, once again for another opportunity to stand here and bring your word to your people. And we do pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to trust you, to obey you, to follow exactly what it is that you'd have us to do, Lord. We cannot do it on our own. And we do pray, Father, as Brother Jordan gets a song of invitation ready here, Lord, that if there's anything holding us back, that we'd lay it to the side and come forward and have a little talk with you. If pride stands in the way, we'd lay it down. If there's sin, and we come forward and we get it confessed, get it cleaned up so that we can go forward for you. Lord, maybe someone here just needs to come and have a little talk with you. They want to thank you for what you've done for them. Lord, it doesn't have to be coming to the altar here just because there's a problem. We can come just because you already fixed the problem. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God, for being so awesome to us, Lord. For saving a wretch like me. Paul may have been the chiefest of sinners, but couldn't I? There are times I feel like I'm right there next to him. You still love us. And that's good. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You please stand if you could. Go ahead, Brother Jordan.
side of.
Opportunity to give blessings.